Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to begin by asking you a question. What do you think, or what comes to mind when I say the word family? Think about it. Think about it. Family.
Here's a story.
Oh, no, come on. No, stop. I preferred the Godfather theme track. Yeah, that was big. Go with that one. Ooh, the family. But I did say in the first service, that's probably a little bit more appropriate for the North location because Pastor Ralph DiGiacomo is at our North location. But he's very friendly. We got anything else? What do you think? What do you think about? No? There you go. Oh, yeah. This is a bit more like, I'm not going to dance. That's Pastor Mick's job. But that's Pastor Mick's job. This is more like it for the West. We like to party here. We are family. Can anyone agree with me? Woo! All right. Hey, getting right into it. We might play that later. Altar call. What do you reckon? But when I think of family, I think of family portraits. And one of the family portraits that comes to mind is, it's at my parents' house, and it's a photo of our family at Werribee Park. Yeah, back, I don't know, it was probably when I was about 11 years old. But this photo was taken not on the cool side of Werribee Park, not the zoo, yeah, where there's like, you know, lions and hippos and tigers. It was the Rose Garden at Werribee Park. So my parents would make us go to the Rose Garden, spend the whole day looking at roses, like, come on, who cares about roses? And they're like, oh, line up, we're going to take a family portrait in front of all the roses. And all the family, they're proud, you know, we're out and about. And I'm in the front with a bowl. Anyone remember bowl haircut? Yeah, so I reckon they just put a pot on my head and just cut around. And I'm there like this. And my parents love the photo. I ruined the photo for them. But in my defense, don't make a kid hang out at the Rose Garden all day long, yeah? Come on. Give a kid a break. But I also think of family portraits, funny photos or awkward photos. We got a couple there. Let me see. Oh, are they just like really small people? Is that a big tree? I don't know. What about my Aunt Sally in Argentina? Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Family portraits. I love them. And here's my family. This was taken at Father's Day. They're here. That's my wife Lisa and my three little chickens. Love them very much. Family portraits. For some, family means the people we're related to, yeah? For others, it's the people we have meals together with. Does anyone have that month of the year where for some reason everybody in your family, it's their birthday, yeah? You got 4 weeks in the year, in the month, but you got 8 parties to go to. And you're just like, forget about it. My weekend's gone. I'm not going to be able to rest for a whole month because I got to go to family birthday parties. For others, maybe it's that Christmas party. You see family once a year, yeah? That's family for them. And you're like, who are you? Am I even related to you? Surely I'm adopted. This can't be my family, yeah? I'm going to hazard a guess right now that if I were to do a poll in here and ask the question, what is your perception or idea of family, we would have very, very different views on it, yeah? But here's the thing. Whether we are aware of it, we are the sum of the following parts: our culture, our upbringing, our environment, our heritage, what has been spoken over our lives, or what hasn't been spoken over our lives. This makes up our idea of family, right? The sum of these parts can be positive and a solid foundation, but other parts can be not so positive, if I'm going to be honest, and not so solid and not so life-bringing. But you know what? Before I continue speaking into what I think family is, I reckon I want to align myself to what the Bible says family is. Amen? We got a verse up here, Ephesians 2:19. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. All right. You are members of God's family. This is the word of God saying this. You are members of God's family. And I love this part. Together, we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. And we are carefully, listen to this part, we are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. Now, that's a house I want to be part of. Yeah, that's a family I want to be part of. Ephesians 3:6 says, and this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally, all right, equally in the riches inherited by God's children. There's a family here. There's an inheritance, yeah? Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promises and blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. And Romans, and I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago because I actually really love this, but Romans 11:17 says, but some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel have been broken off, and you, Gentiles, who were branches from a wild olive tree. Do we have any wild olive trees in here? Huh? Do you have any wild people in here? You have been grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children. Now, listen to this. Sharing in the nourishment, in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. That is what the Bible says family is, the family of God. So I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm a little bit of a documentary nerd. Yeah, I love watching documentaries, probably more than I like watching movies. And I used to buy documentaries, yeah? I used to buy documentary DVDs back in the day, instead of movies because they were cheaper, first of all. And then they were always in the clearance section at the Civic Video Store, yeah? Does anyone know what a video store is here? Yeah, does anyone remember what a video store is? When, all right, I'll talk to you guys. All right, video stores were these like stores, like Macca's and stuff like that, yeah? That any young people here, that you literally had to get in your car, yeah, at nighttime, because that's when you feel like watching a movie, yeah? So you have to get in your car, you need to drive to the video store. When you get to the video store, none of the movies are in order, so you can't find it. So you take like 2 hours trying to find a movie. By that time, anyone back home is already asleep. Can't be bothered watching the movie, yeah? And then you have to drive back to your house and put it in your DVD player, yeah? You just don't understand the pain of getting good content back in the day. You just don't with Netflix and stuff like that. But in saying that, and I said it in the first service because my parents were in here, they're probably thinking, what is this kid complaining about? Back in the day, yeah, we had to walk 10 miles through the snow with no shoes. Why is there always no shoes? They always tell you they're always walking with no shoes. Seriously, how long ago were shoes invented? But walking through the snow with no shoes to go watch a 3-piece Ukrainian accordion band who couldn't even play in tune. My parents would say to me, you don't understand the pain of trying to find good content. And it's true. I don't understand that pain because I got shoes. I love my shoes. But I'm digressing here a bit. Back to my point. Well, my point was I really like watching historical documentaries about great families. Now, I'm talking about families who have prolonged success through multiple generations. And you know what? For the most part, yeah, these individuals in the family knew a few things. They knew about the culture of the family, yeah? They knew about the vision of the family, and they knew the weight, the name of the family carries, yeah? And The Godfather is not a documentary. I don't recommend you watch it, okay? We're in church. But one such family, right, that I've watched a few documentaries and read about is this family who own the franchise Chick-fil-A. Has anyone heard of Chick-fil-A? Yeah? Yeah, it's an American brand. It's the third largest food restaurant in the USA and one of the most profitable. Now, every time they expand, they never borrow money. They pay cash because they believe in good stewardship. Now, the same family owns the business since 1947. And the founder, his name was Samuel Truett Cathy. Many of the company's values, right, are influenced by his beliefs. And he's a Christian, a devout Christian at that. All Chick-fil-A restaurants, hear this, are closed for business on Sundays, as well as Thanksgiving and Christmas. Now, from a business point of view, that doesn't sound like a smart idea. But these guys are killing it, right? And the founder states, I was not so committed to financial success that I was willing to abandon my principles and my priorities. Now, this is very cool. I'm starting to like, I'm starting to get interested in this guy, this family, right? So this is what the family values are if you want to own a Chick-fil-A restaurant, all right? They hire people who care more about customers than they do the product, yeah? They care about customers. They aren't open on Sundays, so they, the owners, can go to church, yeah? And they can allow their employees to go to church, invite the employees to go to church. That's pretty cool. They give and sow into their communities. They have to. They're always involved in their communities. And they care more about customer satisfaction of the product than the convenience of selling heaps of products of lower quality. They go out of their way for their customers. Within the context of what they do, they sell sandwiches, yeah? They don't go plan your wedding for you and stuff like that. They're not that good. But the reason I'm telling you this is not because I love chicken. Well, I do love chicken. So it is one of the reasons I'm telling you this. But the reason I'm telling you this is because I love what this business and this family stands for. Let me tell you a story about this. In 2017, in Texas, there was a hurricane called Hurricane Harvey. And it was huge, yeah? So it's pouring rain, you know, when hurricanes come, it's raining. And there was this elderly couple. Now, they were stuck in their home, and the flood waters, they were rising. They're like, we got no way to get out of here. And they're calling 911 because that's what you're supposed to do, yeah? But no one's picking up. Are you serious? It's a hurricane, 911, the emergency number, no one's picking up. So the guy in frustration gives up. And he has probably on his fridge the number of the local Chick-fil-A restaurant. So he calls them instead and goes, look, can I have two chicken burritos and a boat? And the manager was like, well, we're in the middle of a hurricane. I can't give you the two chicken burritos, but you know what I can do? I think I know someone with a boat. So the manager, within half an hour, calls his mate, and him and his mate rock up in a boat and a jet ski, and I'm not making this up, right? There's a picture up there, on there. They went and picked it up, picked these two people up. Now, and then it was all over Good Morning America, and it was like, whoa, these guys are amazing. But how many can agree that these actions weren't particularly convenient for the manager, yeah? Like, he's got his own problems, yeah? He's trying to keep the chicken from flooding, yeah, in his restaurant. But it's like, you know what? I'm going to go out of my way to help these two people because I can. Yeah, I can't help everyone, but I can help one person. I can't help everyone, but I can help one person. You know, we live in a world of convenience. Like I said before, these days, if you want to watch a movie, you got thousands of titles to choose from. You know, on Netflix and Stan, all the different streaming options. It's so convenient. I don't even have to use my hands to like choose a movie. I just like, hey Google, I would like to see this movie or this show or this documentary, and it just does it for me. It's like magic, yeah. It's like I feel like a magician, yeah. What about food? If I'm hungry, I don't have to cook. It's convenient. I can just use an app. I can plug in what I want, yeah. Not too Chick-fil-A, because I don't have it here yet, but I can plug it in, and within half an hour, it gets delivered to my door in a bag. Always check to make sure they haven't eaten it. You know, sometimes they do little sneaky eats, I reckon. I reckon. He's like, where's my chips? Only half of my chips are here. But you know what? I'm blessing someone. I'm blessing someone. Maybe that's the only food they get to eat that day. What about, here's one. This is one that I've been kind of wrapping my head around. What about robot vacuum cleaners? Has anyone heard of these robot vacuum? It's like the Jetsons, yeah? It's like the future is here. So my wife is trying to convince me to buy a robot vacuum cleaner. Now, you see, I live in an apartment, yeah? It is small. It takes the 5 minutes to vacuum like this. But my wife is like, I found some good prices on this robot vacuum cleaner so I don't have to vacuum. I'm like, how convenient do you want this? Like, I don't get it. I'm not buying a robot vacuum cleaner. I'll do it myself. It takes 5 minutes. I did say I'll do it myself, yeah? And it's recorded, yeah? All right. All right, I'll do the vacuum from now on, every time. Done. All right. You guys can help hold me accountable to that. All right. That's cool. The Lord's working in me as well, yeah? What about church? What about this incredible building we have? We got screens there and screens there and lights and cameras and action. Are your seats comfortable? Yeah, are they cushy? Yeah, don't fall asleep, please. Don't fall asleep. But it's really convenient, yeah? You're like, you walk in. Sometimes we have free coffees, but not today. E-man's like, whew. It's super convenient. I love it. But how many would agree with me that sometimes family can be a little bit inconvenient, yeah? You heard me say that. Like, I know that I'm putting myself out there, but because my family's here as well. But I said it because I reckon most of us have thought it at some stage, yeah? Family can be a little bit inconvenient. I remember when Lisa and I first got married and we'll be hanging out, and even if she, in passing, not directly, but said, hey, I love, you know, Brunetti's chocolate velvet cake, I'll be like, ooh, I'm going to go get it. Even if she thought it, I was like, I'm going to go get you a cake. And she'd be like, no, don't worry about it. Like, it's out of your way. You're at work. It's not out of my way. I'll just drive 40 minutes that way. And then 40 minutes back home, it's literally on my way home, yeah? To go get her a cake because, you know, nothing was inconvenient. But I must say, 10 years later, and I'm not proud of this, church. I'm not proud of this. I am a work in progress, and please don't judge, because we do not judge here at Enjoy Church, okay? But 10 years later, sometimes, she'd be like, Chris, can you give me a cup of tea? And I'm like, are you serious right now? You are closer to the kitchen than I am. You're way closer. It's like 4 meters away for me. I'm watching the NBA right now. You know, I've got my fantasy team. I need to know who's winning so I can get my points. And I am apologetic. I will say that I do make the tea when she asks me to, but sometimes those thoughts come in my mind. The inconvenience of family. What about the waiting around? Who has family you have to wait around for a lot? Don't put your hands up because then you'll incriminate yourselves. But man, I used to be efficient. When I went shopping, right? When I went shopping, I knew the store I wanted to go to. I knew the product and the price and the discount that I wanted. I'll be in, I'll be out like a ninja. Don't waste my time at the shopping center. I don't want to go spend all day at the shopping center. But now I've got 3 kids. And for the life of me, I do not understand why they cannot coordinate. Yeah? There's only 3 of them. It's not like it's a big, it's 3 of them. Coordinate when they want to eat or when they want to drink. Or the worst one is when they want to go to the toilet. So you're there and you're like, hey, everyone, these are the toilets right here. Who needs to go to the toilet? Oh, one person. All right, we'll wait for you. Do you guys need to go to the toilet? No, we're fine. And then you walk 100 meters through the shopping center. I need to go toilet. You just said you don't need to go toilet. How can this be an emergency right now? How can this be, you got to go right now or else? The inconvenience of family. But how many know that those small inconveniences, they come with a world of blessing? My number one point is the church is family. Jesus was always on mission. He took the time to be inconvenienced. What moved Jesus out of his convenience? Even though he was on mission, he knew what he was here to do, to redeem all mankind through his sacrificial death on the cross. He was repeatedly interrupted with the most inconvenient of requests. Heal my daughter. Raise my son back to life. Cast out the demon of my child. Open my eyes. I'm blind. I need to see. Give me back my legs. I can't walk. Let me just touch the hem of your garment so I may be healed. You know what, church? These were not cries of patience that had made an appointment, yeah? Jesus was busy doing what Jesus was doing. He was preaching. He was teaching. He was on mission. And these people came out of seemingly nowhere and inconveniently intersected Christ as he continually strove towards the cross. But here's the kicker, and this is what blows my mind. He came from eternal and infinite bliss, and he laid aside his divine privileges and inconveniently became a human. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8, it says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as some cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. There is a cost. There is a cost to honoring Christ, and it's counted in the currency of convenience. I'm going to say that again. There is a cost in honoring Christ, and it's counted in the currency of convenience. My point number two, we exist, the church exists to connect our communities to the family. In Joshua 1:3, when the Lord said, I will give you everywhere to place your foot, this was more than just an individual blessing. And as a church, we need to step into every place and space that the Lord is calling us. And we see that in our nation's videos. That we would see blessing come upon the communities that we're in. This is why we need to bring people to our Father's house. So what's on this house can be on their house. And my Father's house will become a family blessing. We must see the inconveniences as opportunities, church, rather than annoyances. It's when we are most inconvenienced that we can most display the charity, the hospitality, and the character of our Heavenly Father. Mark 1:17 says, then Jesus said to them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. What Jesus is saying is that there is an entire humanity waiting to know how much they are loved by God, waiting to know how valuable they are in His eyes, waiting to know how precious they are in God's eyes. God doesn't want the church to camp out in this amazing building. He wants the church to break out into the world, yeah? So that anyone that's looking for their way home, if anyone is looking to find a family, if anyone is looking for someone to love them, they can find their way home by following you and me. You are the light of the church, of the world, church. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You see, church, at one point in my life, I was the inconvenient family member. And I thank God that I had a friend and a brother, and he comes to Enjoy Church, and some of you might know him. He's an important guy in Melton, but I'm not going to say his name. But he cared enough to be inconvenienced and fly halfway around the world to go get me, go pull me by my ear, because I was running away. I was running away from God's family. I was running away from God's plan for me. I was running away from His purposes and plan. But He cared enough to be inconvenienced and to go get me. There are people in our world that need us to be inconvenienced, to go out and help them, to go out and pray for them, to go and stand up for them, to go and invite them, but not just invite them, to actually go and get them and bring them to His house, into this family, into the house of the Lord. And when I realized, church, and truly understood, not in here, but in my heart, yeah, truly what God has done for me to make me an heir into His family, through the uncomfortable and inconvenient obedience of my friend, then I realized I need to shake this off. Can anyone say, shake it off? I need to shake off my convenience. When we begin to shake off that convenience, we begin to see through God's eyes. We begin to care. We begin to be stirred. It becomes harder to ignore the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit's nudging you and saying, go talk to that person. Go pray for that person. Go take that person some food. Go grab him and bring him to church. You know that, all of you. If you're a believer, you know the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about someone. When we begin to shake off our convenience, we begin to desire what God desires, that none should perish but have eternal life through Christ Jesus. And this is the church family. And more than my words, I just want to show you pictures, because these pictures come in week in and week out. This is family, church. This is the family that God has made us a part of. This whole bunch of people that aren't related, might not be from the same nation, but are family. They are family of God. They are family in this kingdom, and they are blessed, and they are blessing other people. I can testify that obedience in this area, as Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. This is one of the most rewarding pursuits we will ever have in life. There's a picture right at the end. I love this. This is family. This is family. This is what we do, what we do. This is what... Hold that picture. This is a bunch of crew that I've never met before. And we bring them in and hang out with them, and they don't know who God is or who Jesus is. But when they come in, you know what they say? I like hanging out with you because it feels like family. It feels like family. I don't even speak the same language as them, but it feels like family. Church, we are the light of the world. And I can't help but feel, bring up how... It was so awesome watching everyone just worship. Great are you, Lord. There is power in praising together. There is restoration. It's edifying to the body. And it's freeing as we praise God collectively. And as I stood there, I was thinking, of all the people in my world that I know need this, that I know need to be here, that I know need the peace that God gives, that I know need His presence, that I know need salvation, that I know need to be part of a family and to know His blessing. But this is so comfortable and so convenient. And this is my prayer to me and my prayer for you, that you'd be inconvenienced by a God encounter this week. I'm sorry. I know being inconvenienced is inconvenient. A God connection that will give an opportunity for us to be the light that we're called to be. A light in the darkness. The welcoming light that guides people home. Yeah, to God's house, to our Father's house, to my Father's house, to the family we are called to build and the family we are called to bring people into.